Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our Bible study topic entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? We've been going through the book of Job to see how Job put God on trial. And now we've come to the point where Elihu, God's defense attorney, addresses Job's accusations against God. So Elihu now turns his attention to Job and stands as a man in the place of God, just like Job had requested. Let's turn over to Job chapter 33, and we'll read verses 4 through 8. This is Job chapter 33 and verses 4 through 8. Elihu says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me, and stand forth." Now keep in mind that every time one of Job's three friends said something, Job had a response. He had some kind of an answer. And Elihu is saying the same thing. If you can answer me, then set your words in order before me, and stand forth. Behold, I am toward God, even as you are. I also am formed out of the clay. You remember how Job said, God, just send me a man that's just like me. If you don't want to deal with me, then just send me a man that's just like me. And Elihu is saying, all right, you asked for a man, here I am. I am toward God, I'm representing God, but I'm just like you. I'm formed out of the clay. That's what you asked for, that's what you're getting. In verse 7, behold, my terror shall not make you afraid, and my burden shall not be heavy on you. That's also something that Job had said. He was trying to negotiate with God for a fair trial and said, you know, God, take your fearful hand away from me. If you do that, if you agree that you're not going to crush me when I get into the court case, then I'll be bold. I'll speak my mind. Well, Elihu is saying, okay, that's what you asked for. I'm just a regular old man just like you. You shouldn't be afraid of me for any reason. I'm not here to crush you. I can't just, you know, call down fire from heaven and blow you out of the waters, blow you to smithereens. So then I'm not here to make you afraid. My burden is not going to be heavy for you. That's what you asked for. That's what you got. Now, I'm telling you, Job, you have spoken in my ears, and I have heard the sound of your words. Obviously, Elihu was sitting next to the three friends of Job, and he heard the whole series of conversations. And a good attorney should take copious notes, whether mentally or on paper, because it can be essential in convicting someone of a transgression when you use their own testimony against them. So it is with Elihu. And notice how he uses Job's own words against him to bring Job to the realization that he had sinned. And more importantly, he shows Job exactly what his sin was. And so let's turn to Job chapter 33 and verse 8, where we see Elihu saying, "Surely you have spoken in my hearing, I have heard the voice of your words, saying." Now he's going to enumerate 10 things that he heard Job say. The first thing he heard Job say, we can see, is in chapter 33, verse 9. Job said, "I am clean, without disobedience. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me." The second thing Elihu heard Job say, we can see in verse 10. "Behold, God finds occasions against me. He counts me for his enemy." The third thing is in verse 11. "He puts my feet in the stocks." The fourth thing is also in verse 11, the latter part of it. "He marks all my paths." And then the fifth thing is in chapter 34 now, before we're reading in chapter 33. Now we're in chapter 34 and verse 5. This is the fifth thing that Elihu heard Job say. Job said, "I am righteous, but God has taken away my right." And now the sixth thing is in verse 6 of chapter 34. "Should I be a hypocrite and say that I'm wrong?" See, Job wasn't willing to admit that he was wrong. And actually, that's a good thing. If you don't think you're wrong, you shouldn't say that you're wrong just to appease other people. You should stand your ground. So I don't have a complaint there. But Elihu is going to show Job that indeed he is wrong. And now the seventh thing that he heard Elihu said is also in chapter 34, verse 6, but it's the latter part, where Job said, "My wound is incurable, though I am without disobedience." And then the eighth thing is found in verse 9. Job said, "It profits a man nothing that he should delight himself with God." The ninth thing is in chapter 35 now, and in verse 3. We found a couple of things in chapter 33, a couple of things in chapter 34. Now we see the last two things in chapter 35. So the ninth thing is in chapter 35, verse 3. Job said, "What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned?" And then the tenth thing is found in chapter 35, verse 2, where Job said, "My righteousness is more than God's." After Elihu replays the tape of Job's comments, he lovingly picks Job apart using the following godly principles. Because you remember, we said that Elihu was able to judge righteous judgment. And judging with righteous judgment means that you do two things. Number one, you assume that the person you are judging, if they're a decent person like Job was, is that they're trying to do the right thing. So you give them the benefit of the doubt. And then the second thing is you judge what God is doing with the knowledge that God is always good. There's no question. God is always good because God is love. Everything God does is out of love. So you're operating in this whole context of love. That's how you can judge righteous judgment, because you're looking at things with eyes of love. And so in following these New Testament principles, Elihu was able to operate in that atmosphere of love. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore such a one." And how? "In the spirit of gentleness, first considering yourself, that you also not be tempted." And you remember one of the first things we discussed in this study was that we should judge, but first we have to take the beam out of our own eyes, then we can see the splinter that's in our brother's eyes. And so that's what God is saying here, same principle, that we should restore such a one who has been caught in any transgression in the spirit of gentleness, first considering ourselves, taking the beam out of our own eyes, and then being able to address the splinter that's in our brother's eyes. So we should do it in the spirit of gentleness, considering ourselves, so that we are also not tempted, so that we don't fall into the same problem. All right, and then a second principle that Elihu was following is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 24 through 26. This is the second epistle of Timothy, the second chapter in the book, and verses 24 through 26. Here it says, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome," like Job's three friends were. "But the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome." But how should God's servant be? God's servant should be gentle towards all, this loving approach. God's servant should be able to teach. Why? Because God's servant should be able to take the mote that's out of his or her own eye first, and then they'll be able to see clearly to teach other people about the splinter that they have in their own eye. And we have to do this with patience. And now in verse 25, here's this word again. "In gentleness, correcting those who oppose him." Anybody that opposes us, we should be able to correct them if what we're saying is true, but not in a quarrelsome way. "In gentleness, correcting those who oppose him, hoping that God may give them repentance, leading to a full knowledge of the truth." We should be striving always to help people grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Why? So that these people can be recovered out of the devil's snare. So now, let's see how Elihu, God's defense attorney, leads Job to repentance and a full knowledge of the truth. Please turn with me to Job chapter 33, and we'll read verses 12 through 14. This is Job chapter 33, and verses 12 through 14. Elihu says to Job, "Behold, in this case, Job, you are not right. I will answer you, For God is greater than man. That's the first thing Elihu establishes, is that God is greater than man. Then in verse 13 he says, why do you fight against him? For he does not have to give account for any of his matters. Verse 14, for God speaks once, yes twice, but not one person takes notice. In other words, the very way that God seeks to speak to people, people don't even understand what's going on. So how can you fight against God and say that God's not going to answer you, that God's turned his back on you? Don't you know that God is always working to speak with you? It's just that you're so thick-headed, you can't understand it. And that's what he's trying to do to Job, is get him to understand that you are thick-headed, Job. You just have not been able to perceive God's working in your life. And the next thing Elihu is going to do is show Job exactly how he's ignored God. Now, we're going to have to wait till the next program to find that out, but I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. Right from the pages of your own Bible, I will first reveal to you the identity of the beast, and secondly reveal to you what is the mark of the beast. I will do this during a free seminar entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? This free seminar will be held on Wednesday, February 14th, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Northlake Barbara Lohr Library, which is located at 3772 La Vista Road in Tucker, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please, don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you may end up receiving the mark of the beast. Many people will receive the mark of the beast in order to escape the great tribulation, which is Satan's wrath against the people of God. But those who receive the mark of the beast will not escape the day of the Lord, which is God's wrath against the people of disobedience. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.